You have arrived at your destination.
PlayStation, finally, with the cross-play announcement. And man, are they not happy about it.
The most begrudging announcement I've ever read in my entire life. Disconnect in their brain. They're always convinced that their kids are sick, so they're in some situations they'll make their kids sick.
Oh, that's that. Okay, them. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's so that like they get attention to.
That's Munchausen syndrome. Okay, yes, I've heard the word. I've heard of that syndrome or that condition. Never seen it connected. And that's how we're starting this episode of the Video Struck Podcast.
That's how we start this podcast. Where you find out. I'm totally married to a nurse.
And I learn weird things.
All the time.
All the time.
I got a Christmas moose.
You do. You have a big old Christmas moose, and he's great.
I love him.
I love the detail in his zippers, actually. Yep. Like, it's like really, like someone put some care into this Christmas moose, and it's awesome.
Just a little inside baseball here. I have a small home, and when approached with the idea by my wife of we need a Christmas tree this year, I was like, I guess we can get a little one, and we were at Sam's Club, and I said, what if we had a Christmas moose instead? And now we have a Christmas moose.
And your wife, being awesome, was like, oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Well, she just thought it would be funny, like, 20 years from now, like, you know, when our children are grown, they're like, why is there a Christmas moose in the house? Well, the first Christmas we were married, your father was an idiot.
Your father was and I indulged it.
Yes.
Which is pretty much our marriage entirely.
It's our friendship as well, though.
It's true, yeah, that's like, true.
It's basically everybody who knows me, you just understand that you just have to placate my stupidity.
It's basically it, yeah. Like, if you play online, it's like, if you're going to enjoy a game, you got to placate to your stupidity.
Exactly.
That's all there is to it. Oh, but yeah, man, it's Video Destruct. It's
been a little break.
Good little break, but we're back, and we're going to cover some news and stuff that we've played, because we both have played stuff. And we got stuff to talk about as well.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. Public service announcement first. That Humble Monthly for Hitman you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention this really quick. If you're somebody who knows that you're going to be picking up Hitman.
Yeah.
And maybe you're going to be playing Hitman 2 on a different system than you played the first one, or you don't own the first one anymore, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You need to own it digitally.
Yeah.
In some form. A physical copy will not work. Mm-hmm. But if you own Hitman 1, when you buy Hitman 2, all those stages and episodes and everything comes over to Hitman 2. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to play those old levels with the new upgrades for Hitman 2.
Right.
Which sounds really cool. So you just... The first game was Hitman, A World of Assassination.
Right.
Well, they're kind of following through on this. I mean, at a certain point... I think this will have, like, 14 major cities if you have both games in here.
Wow.
And it's like, all right, well, we're starting to get to the point where by Hitman 4, it's the actual planet of assassination. but, yeah, like, the reason I mentioned that is that it's on sale kind of everywhere. It's also in the Humble Monthly this month.
Sure.
But even if you own it on PlayStation and Xbox, I think it's on sale this week there.
Right.
You should, even if you never played it, dude, just get Hitman.
Right.
It's fucking great.
It's a great
reason why it was...
A super fun game.
Did it win, or was it the runner-up 2 years ago?
I don't remember. It won, I think. I think it did win.
It deserved it.
It deserved to win.
Doom is one of the most incredible games I've ever played.
Yeah.
Hitman might be better.
Hitman just had that cool idea of, like, the limited window assassins things. What are they called?
High-value targets?
It was high-value targets.
Elusive targets.
That was cool. It's like, within this window, you have to do it.
Yep.
And if you fail, you fail.
You get one opportunity to murder Gary Busey.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. Gary Busey and...
Gary Cole was optional.
He was optional. But you could murder
Ricky
Gary
Bobby's
Cole.
Dad was also an option.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a cool set of games. Hitman 6 in space. We'll be in that.
That'd be all right. A universe of assassinations.
Universe of assassinations. There you go. Let's see. The Master Chief Collection. Hey! Finally works.
Yeah, they fixed it.
Yeah.
I've been playing quite a bit of Halo, the Master Chief Collection, after... having, like, walked away from that thing in disgust, like, 3.5 years ago.
Anger.
Yeah, they finally fixed it. The Xbox One X update for that thing is fantastic. It all runs at 4K. It's all rock-solid 60fps. It's the only way you've ever been able to play that Halo 1 remaster at, like, a good frame rate.
Right.
That thing would bounce all fucking over the place on certain levels on the 360 and... in the original Master Chief Collection. So
right.
It's nice to see that working.
Yeah.
It's also the matchmaking works. I've been playing online multiplayer games of the first 4 Halo games on the internet with human beings.
Nice.
That was fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Finally, a novel concept.
4 years later.
Yeah, it's a novel concept of playing a Halo game online. A little bit there.
Not lost on me?
No.
I'll say this. Not lost on me.
Sure, sure. Xbox One Metal Gear backwards compatibility?
Just a tiny little note that if you're somebody that wants to go back and play Metal Gear Solid 2 or 3,
mm-hmm.
Also Peace Walker was in that collection for the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
The PS3 had the same collection, but obviously there's no backwards compatibility there.
Yeah.
The nice thing is this isn't Xbox One X enhanced,
right.
So it's only going to get you 1080p,
right.
But it's... 1080p instead of the 720 that you got before.
Right.
And it's also rock solid 60fps on both games. It's
right.
never looked or ran any better, and with there never being a PC port, I don't think it'll ever will.
Right.
So if you're looking to go back to it and you've got access to some kind of Xbox One,
yeah.
that's probably the best way to play those games now, because let me tell you, even though those PS2 games supported 480p,
right.
don't hold up. Also, those frame rates... Don't hold up. Metal Gear Solid 2 was really good. It was
right.
very high frame rate, but Metal right. Gear Solid 3, that frame rate was... Whew,
sure.
Because
sure.
it was like... Yep. It was 2005.
Yeah.
It, you know, they had already bent from going 60fps for Metal Gear Solid 2. It said like, oh,
right.
this will be 30fps, and it's more like in spots around like 20. Yeah, that game's got some issues. But it's gorgeous, so it's nice to see it finally running the way that it was originally intended
supposed to. Supposed to do, yeah. Exactly. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. Shenmue... 1 and 2 were supposed to be a remake.
Okay, yeah. This news actually just came out today.
Yeah.
There's a Digital Foundry video of it out there. They actually have some gameplay from the damn thing.
Oh, wow.
It's all placeholder stuff.
Right.
It's just slow swooping shots. Even all the guys that are walking around, like all the NPCs,
okay.
if it's not a key character,
right.
they have like this halo that goes around their head and it just says placeholder.
Interesting.
Because they hadn't made all the NPCs yet. So it's
yeah.
just every NPC is the same guy. Which is really great. So it's like, here's 20 guys on the street front that's just the same guy.
That's funny.
But yeah, like, it was the 1 and 2 HD remaster collection that I talked about, I believe, the last time that we podcasted, or maybe 2 times ago.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember. We've been skipping around here lately because we've been so busy.
Right.
But yeah, the Shenmue 1 and 2 remaster was actually supposed to be a remake collection.
Mm-hmm.
Shenmue 1 definitely shines more than Shenmue 2, because Shenmue 2 was a much more mature game, like, technologically, and 1 is a little bit more art design driven
yeah. mm-hmm.
and rough.
Yeah.
It, you know, it has 1 foot still in the Sega Saturn, because
sure.
that's where that game originally was going to be made for.
Right.
So it's funny now that, like, we've got this legacy of Shenmue 1, there's all this footage out there of it as a Saturn game.
Right.
Then you get the Saturn, then you get the Dreamcast release. Then you get 2, and then you get the 2 for the Xbox, which looks way different.
Right.
And then you get this HD remaster, and then you find out there was supposed to be a
remake
before. Oh,
that.
It's, dude, it's weird.
It's bizarre bit of news, yeah.
I finished
yeah.
those.
Okay. Yeah, the
they still kind of, I mean, those
the
games
remasters,
suck.
Yeah.
But I liked them.
Yeah, it's interesting, because it's like...
It's complicated.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like... There's certain games that, like, you have a reverence for, even if they're not good, and you know they aren't, and, like, God Hand, and
God Hand's actually good to play.
And I know, it actually is, like, fairly polished, but have you ever seen speedrunners of that game,
yeah.
by the way? It's insane, like,
yeah.
they know exactly, like, how to murder everybody, like, super quick. Like Gungrave, you know.
Yeah, this
Gungrave.
Is definitely more of a Gungrave.
More of a
scenario.
Gungrave scenario.
Possibly a bit more groundbreaking than Gungrave.
A little bit more, you know.
But no, like, there are things, like, when people ask me, should I try the Shenmue collection?
Right.
I always ask them first, have you ever played a Shenmue game before?
Right.
And typically I say, probably not.
Yeah.
But then I explain myself, and
sure.
I think it usually ends up making more sense. Because they're like, well, you just spent, like, 50 hours playing these things. It's like, well,
yeah.
here's the thing. If you don't have... either a reverence for it, or at the same time, if you're not the kind of guy that, man, you know what I want to do this evening is lay on the couch for 4 hours and just kind of hang out.
Hang out, yeah.
And because you're not doing anything.
Yeah, it's like you're walking around asking for sailors, and that's,
I think across both of those games, I had 40 to 50 combat scenarios ever, so that's like 1 hour.
Right,
I mean,
yeah. Exactly.
And it's only because Shenmue 2 has so many fucking more.
Would you recommend it to anybody who's played the Yakuza series?
No.
No? Yeah, because it's
because those games are way better.
They're way better. So it's like if you played Yakuza, it's like you've already played those games in a superior manner. It's like
you played... It's basically if you played... You know, if you watch the new Battlestar Galactica and somebody said, should I go back and watch the old one? Fucking no.
No, it's bad.
If you haven't watched the old one, never watch it.
Other than for Dirk Benedict's beautiful face. That's
beautiful
the
face.
Only reason. Dude beat cancer, too. So, there you go.
A wonderful man.
I know. Good guy. Good guy. Lauren Green's acting's pretty good, too. That's about the only thing I'll give the original. So, let's see. The big news, you wanted to talk about Red Dead Redemption a little bit.
Yeah, I just kind of...
The new Red Dead coming out.
We'll possibly have a rest of the year corner on next week's show, because I kind of want to talk about some of the stuff that's left. Like, a lot of, unlike usual, most of the big gun stuff either got pushed to next year.
Right.
Or is already out, but there's like 5 big ones left.
Right.
Red Dead being one of them.
Right.
I believe it was 2011.
Yeah.
I believe it was 2011 when Red Dead came out.
Right.
I didn't like that game.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone back and grown a respect for it, and I can wholeheartedly say that, yeah, in the year that it came out, it was probably the best game of that year.
Right.
I just don't like playing it.
Right.
So I'm really torn when I watch these trailers because I see everybody getting so wet in the jeans about it, and I'm like, I mean... I guess.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot of hype for the fact that like this is the first game since GTA 5. GTA 5 is a game that's still a huge success. Like GTA Online and all that stuff is crazy. So I guess the anticipation is like, oh, now we're getting to have that, like the GTA 5 experience, but in Red Dead
Red Dead sold like 20 million copies. It's definitely
for sure.
Not just people are glomming on to just something because it says Rockstar.
Oh, sure, sure.
See, I'm not trying to cut the game short.
Right, right. But it's sort of like that thing of like a lot of people love Red Dead, a lot of people love GTA 4. Then 5 came out and was like, this is better than anything ever. And now you have that with Red Dead, and it's going to be like, this is going to be better than GTA 5, maybe. So, you know, I don't. It's like you have no idea. Like, there's that anticipation for a lot of people.
Yeah,
like maybe this is going to be like the next step up for that and stuff. So.
I also think that like the reason it's taken like it's been 5 years since they released a new game,
right? Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the reason there's been no other. Typically, you get one Rockstar North game every 5 years, and then
right.
You know all these other studios will put out something else. Your Max Payne 3s, L.A. Noire, stuff like that.
Right.
Bully in the meantime.
Yeah.
But like this is all hands on deck, and it's been all hands on deck for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why is if you work for Rockstar, you got to be a little weirded out because GTA 5 is the biggest entertainment product ever across any medium.
Made. Yeah, period.
Nothing
movies,
comes close.
Anything. Yeah, movies, television.
Before the end of 2013, when it was only on PS3 and 360,
it
already made over $1 billion.
Right, yeah.
It's gone on to make like $8 billion. It's ridiculous.
It's insane, yeah.
And, you know, it just continues to just spin out money.
They could just stop. They don't need to make anything ever again.
Why do you think Blizzard didn't make that next MMO?
Right.
World of Warcraft made so much money that it's like, well, we don't want to grab some fans off of this thing and move them onto this thing and then have to close one of them and then get ill will and all that stuff.
Yeah.
When all we do is we just throw new graphical shaders at the old thing and just let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I hate to say it, but like sometimes the safe choice is the right choice.
Yeah, you just start giving content supplementarily. We got a new Cunning Stunts this week. Check that out.
Here's a new heist once a year.
Here's a new heist once a year. Here's the new vehicles you can get if you do those heists.
And they actually stand in the driver's seat, I think, of positive community outreach. Because, they charge for stuff like shark cards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all that DLC is free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, all that you can content...
Yeah, you can go do it.
It's free.
Yeah.
Like, because I booted in, and I hadn't... I've been playing some GTA 5 here and there lately.
Sure.
Because I kind of want to figure out how to make a video out of that. I want to do a heist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Check out Achievement Hunter, man. Like, that's the way to go about doing the heists. Like, it's a fun time.
It seems like Mixer might be the way to go, where we get five people, and we're all in there, and you can simulcast, and then, you know, hot swap out who's important. Hot swap out
who's important, yeah.
And that... So I'm doing some tech stuff, and I think that's a good guinea pig for this thing.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, going in there... You can't even find year one GTA Online content.
Right.
It's all gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's just so much new shit, they just eventually just had to go, well, we just threw that away, I guess. I don't...
Yeah. Heist one, gone.
All these old team deathmatch matches, gone. Yeah, all that shit.
And then they sort of, like, pile on other things on top of it, like the masterminds, where it's like, complete all heists with no deaths on hardest difficulty, and you get masterminds, and you get, like, $15 million in game money. And it's like, and that's a lot of money. That's like... That's like $400 or something in actual. Or,
I think it's like $50.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money.
Well, it's like, I think it's like $100, but for like four people. $100. But like 4 people per.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's like $400.
That's
like,
a lot of money.
Like in actual game.
And yeah, I mean, I think that stuff is, it's very cool, and I hope that Red Dead comes out and it just grabs me.
Yeah.
I will say that, like, I don't like moving in Grand Theft in recent Rockstar games.
Yeah.
It's alleviated.
Yeah.
In Grand Theft Auto, because I'm mainly just in a car.
Right.
Or on a motorcycle. Right. Or in a plane or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't like walking anywhere. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your movement engine, I understand that it's all about like human propulsion and kinetics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It sucks. It's terrible.
It's bad.
It's real bad. It's if there's anything that is awful about it, it's
walking. And they made the horses work that way.
Yeah.
And that's the only other fucking means of conveyance that you have.
Yeah.
And I hope I like playing this one. I really do.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that, their new random stuff just seems like it's really cool. Like, every preview, I've tried not to over-inundate myself, but I've read a few previews here and there. And just a lot of the random occurrences that you can see, and the way that, like, all right, so I was riding into this town to go talk to this guy about this mission, to turn in a quest, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this guy rode next to me, and he made a bad gesture at me, and I told him to go fuck himself, and then he pulled out a gun, and I murdered him, but somebody saw me murder him, so I had to chase her down, and then when I finally found her, she was talking to the sheriff, so I killed her, then I killed the sheriff, and then I had to change my clothes, and I was taking a bath, and somebody busted in, then I was naked, and then I had to shoot, you know, and it's... Because all he was trying to do was turn a quest in.
It's all just a big hole.
And that just... Some of that stuff just sounds really fun. That sounds like the kind of zany hilarity that, like, I tend to get into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good time. Hopefully you'll have a good time with it this time around. PlayStation, finally, with the cross-play announcement. And man, are they not happy about it.
The most begrudging announcement I've ever read in my entire life. There was actually two big announcements since the last time we podcast. First one is going to be crossplay.
Right.
They put out a press release that, like, I read to you verbatim.
Yeah.
Granted, I edited added a couple of editorial sighs in there, but it just sounds like, well, I guess you can have it.
I guess you can have this thing you've been asking for, whatever, here.
Which, like, and my favorite thing from the press release, period, is that they talk about, like, we wanted to investigate crossplay as something that would be viable for our consumers while still giving the PlayStation consumer the best experience of all platforms. I'm like, well, that's not how online games work.
That's not how online games work at all.
That's like you put marketing speak in here, and now it just sounds like you're cheating.
Yeah, it's like other than your button prompts are an X, triangle, circle, and square, there's not much else difference in the rest of it.
So, yeah, I mean, they have acquiesced. The only game that has been announced for this, well, it's actually live now, is Fortnite, but Activision announced today, as of this recording, that Destiny 2 and Call of Duty, and I think something else that they have, Overwatch, are all going to go crossplay.
Right.
And that's because all those run on Blizzard servers, and it's all unified name stuff, and you can just throw a switch and go, ta-da!
Yeah, yeah. When I get my... I'm kind of excited about that, because I've never played... I've played Overwatch a little bit. I've kind of wanted to play a little bit more of it. And I got two friends who play it all the time on PS4, and I'm like, I'm not getting it on PS4, because it's my roommate's PS4, so I don't want to have a game that I can't play if he moves out. Like, so I want to get it on PC. And they're like, well, then you can't play with this. I'm like, yeah, because you guys bought the dumb one that doesn't want to crossplay. So now I can do that. So
yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, you know, I've been living the crossplay lifestyle. I mean, right. We'll talk about Forza a little bit later.
Sure.
But yeah, so I created a gamer tag on my Xbox X for my wife.
Right.
Because she kept watching me play this, and she'd be studying on the couch, and she'd just look and go, I want to do something. She never says that.
She never says
that. She's like, I want to do something.
You're virusing her. You're, like, coming off or something.
Well, and
like,
the game's just like so fucking fun.
It is. It's cool. It's yeah.
Yeah, when you see me doing, like, 360 spins off a ramp into a river, you're like, all right, this looks okay.
This looks all right. I'll do that.
So I set up a gamer tag for her, and created a new save for her. And because I have the game digitally,
right,
I only had to buy it once.
Yeah.
She's got access to all the Ultimate Edition content and all that other shit.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, some kind of brag about that or something. But like, all I did was, I just made her an account.
Right.
And we play together.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm on my PC, she's on my Xbox,
yeah.
And it just goes.
And it just goes.
We're in a world where it fucking should all be this way.
Yeah.
With the exception of possibly Nintendo,
yeah.
Everybody's got a really good network. I bought that online thing for Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
It's a shame. It's a big shame.
It works.
Yeah.
But it is the most fucking barren service. You still gotta use the fucking phone thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it works at least. Yeah, the phone for communication. Like, you actually run it through your phone.
Yeah, if you want to run chat.
Yeah, chat, and you run it through your actual phone.
Pull your goddamn phone out that's tethered to a fucking Switch.
Real stupid.
Real dumb.
It's real dumb.
But yeah, so I bought it mainly just to get the NES games, just to give them a shot.
I'm glad it works, though, because typically with Nintendo, that's asking too much. So,
But, and Nintendo doesn't play in that space. All their online games are different anyway. It doesn't matter. Like, you could unify their Rocket League and their Fortnite. Fortnite already works. That's true.
If Nintendo has... Yeah, Fortnite works fine. If Nintendo has taught me anything, it's like, it's that they can probably infinitely, in perpetuity, at least within the sphere of our vision, just be different for as long as they want. And they will always be that.
I will say this, though.
It's weird.
You don't have to use the dumb phone thing for Fortnite.
Right.
You just plug in any headset and it just works. It's like, why the fuck did you make the phone thing?
Why did you just do that for anything else? Why is the phone thing a thing?
And also, like, the reason I ended up buying the Nintendo thing was that, like, first, I fucked around with it.
Right.
And, man, if you don't have an online account for that thing,
right,
it is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, anything that hits a leaderboard for anything,
yeah,
it just sends you a system-level error message of, like, yo, man, you can't access this. Like, even the jump rope thing in Mario Odyssey.
Really?
At the end, you know how to show you, like, your friend got 105. No, it just sends you a straight-up fucking error message. It's messed up, dude. But it totally works. There is a great thing that's on that service, and that we can move on to the other PlayStation news after this.
Sure.
Say one of the cool thing with that service.
Yeah.
Did you see that new mode for the original Legend of Zelda?
I did not.
It's basically a Link Between Worlds. Mm. They give you every weapon.
Cool.
They give you the white, not the top level everything, so it's like the white sword, not the magic sword.
Oh, that's cool.
All that kind of stuff. Like the white tunic, not the red tunic. Because I believe the red one's the top tunic in that one.
Possibly.
Yes. But yeah, they give you like tons of gear at the beginning, so you've got the boomerang and, you know, all that other shit. You can go anywhere at the beginning.
That's cool. Yeah.
And
zipped any.
It's very cool. Like, and it's just, it's a free download. Cool. You don't have to buy it. If you have the service, it's just on there.
Very cool.
It was weird to play that game that way.
Yeah.
I also beat that game in like 5 hours.
it's a quick game if you can go to any spot.
If you have everything at the start of the game, it's weird.
Yeah.
The other piece of PlayStation news is that they have finally acquiesced another piece and are going to allow you to change your PlayStation ID.
Was that always like a thing you couldn't do
ever?
Yeah.
If you wanted a different name, you just had to throw your account away.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I know a lot of people who made their like PlayStation IDs and shit like that when they were in college.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe like Bongmaster 420XXX is not what you want your name to be anymore.
It's true. Yeah, right. Maybe you grew up a little bit. You got a family now. You don't want your smoking Dublunts XX57X.
Master Chief Huffmaster. You know,
smoke them to blunt.
But so they announced that your first one will be free.
Yeah.
After that, it will be $10. If you're a PlayStation Plus member, it's only $5.
Yeah.
And
that seems fair.
$10 on Xbox. It's always been that way.
Yeah, you're not going to change it all that often.
No.
So you know, it's like, again, like you said, you're going to have that regretful moment of like, I shouldn't name myself that.
Yeah.
just take your one freebie and change it to something sensible, and that'll be good. So,
and
but that's good.
I think that's smart.
It's funny because Apple kind of did the same thing with their iTunes Connect. You have an iTunes Connect account when you put up a podcast, such as this one. You can't ever change that ever for the longest time. It was like, if you lose your email account for your... You will never be able to access anything for your iTunes account whatsoever from Apple, because Apple's ridiculous that way. They finally have it to where you can actually just switch your podcast to a different account.
Ooh, nice.
And it's like, oh, that's what everyone wanted. Thanks. So, yeah. So
it only took them almost 20 years.
Weird, right? Yeah. It's bizarre that they finally let go of those locks and everything. You know, when Bill Gates reprimands you for how bad your shit is for that for, like, the longest time, it's like Microsoft did that. He did that to Microsoft and to Apple. It's just like, we do this so poorly as two company or whatever it is, like as a service. It's just like, we're so bad at it, like both sides, and it's just, and it's funny to me. So,
well, I mean, I've been listening to podcasts. Like, the first podcast I ever listened to and was ravenous about this thing for 3 or 4 years until the whole giant bomb GameSpot rift thing broke up was the GameSpot's The Hotspot.
Yeah,
and it's weird to me how rigid that structure has always been.
Yeah.
Even, like, for the longest time, changing your podcast image was like,
oh, yeah.
Why?
Why would you change it?
Why?
It's like, well, we need to. And that became a little bit
easier. That's not our brand anymore. Yeah, we got bought by another company.
Right,
you know?
Like, and that became easier to do. It just took forever to update in a lot of ways. So, like, it was literally like, it would, like, the cash was just aggressive and it would hold on to it. But if you wanted to, like, change, like, your account on anything, it's like, oh, you just have to dump it and then, like, re-upload to a different account, but then I lose all my people who subscribe. Yeah. Well, I don't want to do that. And it's like, yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. And it's like, oh, okay. And now you can finally actually do that. And it's just like, all right, cool. Only took you 20 years, like you said. But yeah, pretty cool that you can do that with PlayStation now. You can change
your name. I think that's... For me, that doesn't matter.
Right. Sure.
But,
Like,
I'm probably, like, other than Steam, my name is the same on everything.
Yeah, it's always going to be the hot
spot. It'll just be that way.
Yeah. You know, I thought of a different say. Like, if we start breaking this podcast into segments, I feel like I want to give you a segment to where I just, because I'm the host, and you kind of do your thing, obviously. Whenever we go into informational, if you have any grind my gears sort of situations, we'll call it hostile takeover, and you just get to go. How about that?
I hate this.
All right,
I hate this.
We'll have like an alarm. It's like hostile takeover time, and you just do a thing, and you just do a rant. Like, you point. We'll have cameras. You just point at the camera like the whole time. It'll be all right. I'm making them laugh a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that's just not going through.
You're not,
I don't like puns on my name, goddammit.
But your username is a pun on your name, so I don't,
it's also a Buffy the Vampire Slayer thing.
It is. It is also a Buffy the Vampire Slayer thing, so that's fine. All right, man, that's it for the news. We're moving on to what we've played. What have we played this during this timeout?
I'm going to let you start because I want to know about this game.
I would love to start off. There's actually one I forgot about that I'm going to start off with. Well, I guess I'll start off with the one that you want to know about.
No, you're just going to...
This one I don't have a whole lot to say about because it's basically those.
Yeah, don't start the show with a showstopper here.
It's true. But it's another one of those games, but they do a pretty okay job for like switching some things up with it. Super Mario Party. I played Super Mario Party.
I played some of that.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's as bad as those other ones.
It's dog shit.
I love the Mario Party games.
Why?
Because they're bad. Like, they're just that thing that's like, everyone knows that they suck, but they're just like this, like, oh, but if we all play it, we all get to be, it's the giant bomb syndrome. It's like, if we all play it, we all just get to be tortured by this dumb thing for, like, an hour, and we all get to complain and bitch at each other and say, like, how come you get a star? You didn't do anything! Like, and we get to scream at each other.
It ends with me just tossing a Joy-Con behind the couch and walking up and going, fuck you.
They've mitigated a little bit of that in this.
There's less of the random star horse shit.
There's less of the random star horse shit. Everybody gets their own special dice block, which I like. Each character gets their own special. Now, I like that in some ways because it's like, oh, cool, you get to do what's right. But there are some that just have an absolute shit dice block and you would never want to be them. Like Monty Mole, other than the fact that Monty Mole is goddamn dope. Adorable dope. And everyone should want to be a Monty Mole, his dice block is trash and no one should ever want it. So it's weird. So... you don't move a lot. Like, the boards are all shorter.
To be fair, he's not known to be a very lucky fellow.
He's not. He digs through the dirt, and he's not, so...
Throws wrenches.
I like Spike. Spike's one of my favorites. He's fun. Spike's okay. He's got big lips. He's big, dumb-looking. I don't know. I like him. He's got the... for lack of a better term, not hating... He's got SJW hair. He's got the blue hair on the side that I'd like to speak to your manager haircut.
Like, it's shaved on the other side.
Yeah, shaved on the other side. Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. Not hating on it. But anyway,
I always call that, like, Skrillex
hair. Skrillex hair, yeah. Yeah, Skrillex hair, yeah, yeah. Young college student hair. Anyway, I don't know. They sort of, again, it's one of those. It's not a good game. But I like it. I don't know. It's real dumb. You know, it's just a fun Mario time.
I don't like it. I think it's bad.
Yeah.
I think the people that like it are bad.
Anyone who likes this is a bad person.
It's horse shit.
Who's the guy on Giant Bomb that loves putting him through it?
Dan Riker.
That's it. So he's always the one that gets the bad luck shit.
I'm curious if for Christmas this year, when all the guys are together, if they'll do one for the new one. Because there's one map where you can play, I think it's 30 or 40 turns.
Right, yeah.
The other ones, I think, only go up to 20.
Right, yeah. There is one specific level on one Mario Party game that I think is actually a good game that they need to just impart on the rest of it because it adds a bit of monopoly to it. I think it's Mario Party 6, I want to say. And there's a level called Hotels, or it's like something Hotels or whatever. And the whole point is you buy hotels when you land on them, and you pay money into them to make them a star hotel. Oh, you want to make this a one-star hotel? All right, it'll be this much. Oh, you landed on that person's hotel. You can buy that from them and make it a two-star hotel. Then you have two stars. So there's more strategy involved with it when you land on something. It's the only Mario Party board I've ever noticed that actually is, like, decent.
So if I show up on your three-star hotel,
yeah.
Can I Biff Tannen it and steal that fucker?
You can absolutely do that, yes.
Yeah.
And steal the three-star hotel, and now you have three stars, and I have none, or however many other ones that I have on the other.
Yeah, I don't know why stealing hotels is always a Biff Tannen act in my head.
Yeah, it just seems like it, you know. He's got
the
big...
buy that hotel.
Well, he bought it with crooked gambling money.
Yeah, true.
He bought it with crooked gambling.
That was actually my favorite part of being in Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
In Fremont Street, at the end of the street, that Plaza Hotel
right.
is Biff's
it's
Hotel.
It's Biff's Hotel, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just being on that street, I was like, fucking right.
Oh, man.
This is so good.
You just want to blast Can't Drive 55?
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's awesome. Like, there we go.
Show up and get hit on by your mom. It's weird.
It's true. So I played Super Mario Party. What have you played, Hoss? You played...
No.
Well, am I going through all of them?
Well, I guess I can go next.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you my little one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yoku's Island Express.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I bought this game for my wife, and I've ended up playing it maybe more than her.
Right.
Because I discovered when we went to this place here in town called Rec Bar.
Yes.
One night that she loves pinball, and she's actually quite good at it.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, and she's kind of better than me at most tables
at
it.
That's pretty impressive. You guys should definitely come to the Arcade Expo this year then as well.
So yeah.
I bet
yeah.
she'd enjoy that a lot.
The thing with Yoku's Island Express is that you're like a little ant guy
right.
that is tied to a big ball
right.
That you can push around, but you can't jump.
Mm-hmm.
it's bumpers from pinball that you have to unlock.
Okay.
And it's spending money sometimes to move a brick so that the bumper will shoot up. And then the entire levels are all very vertical.
Right.
And it's basically solving puzzles and, you know, it's a very traditional platformer.
Right.
It's just fucking pinball.
Right.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's on the Switch. It's on fucking everything.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say out of it other than if you don't have any interest in pinball.
Right.
You shouldn't play it at all, but if you like a good platformer and you like pinball and you just it's a good relaxing game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sitting on the couch while like she's watching some show about military doctors. I don't know. she loves it. I don't get it.
I don't know.
but yeah, like just sitting there with my leg crossed with Yoku's Island Express in my lap. Good experience.
Wow. There you go. Boom. Cool. Awesome. I'm going to talk about... you want to do a quick one on Soul Calibur? Because you mentioned you actually...
I had very little experience
with
Soul Calibur 6.
Yeah, demo in the shop.
They came by the store and were showing off a demo of the new Soul Calibur 6.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that's built on the Tekken 7 technology.
Yeah. Was it Volstagg? Did he show up? What's his name?
Voldo?
Voldo.
Voldo did not show up.
Okay, that's good.
He didn't crab walk into my building. Yeah.
Here's the demo.
Just put in the drive yourself. I don't want to touch what you've touched.
Don't touch what you've touched.
But yeah, so the demo was pretty cool. It didn't have Geralt in it from The Witcher. He's their one special character.
He's their special guy.
I had your Mitsurugis and your Maxis, and you know, like it's really pretty. Like they've gotten a really good handle on that Unreal Engine 4 technology that they used to build Tekken 7.
Yeah,
I was playing it on a base PS4.
Interesting.
That's what we have at the shop.
Right.
Looks great. Right. I could understand that game running at a much higher resolution would look awesome because I've been playing quite a bit of Tekken 7 on my PC at 4K, and man, those games just. They're built with assets that are high enough resolution and sample quality that, like, you can just blow them up as big as you want and it's still going to look good.
So, right, yeah.
Yeah, I want to play some more Soul Calibur 6. Yeah. I think maybe we bring back Video Shrek Versus or something for that.
Yeah, that'd be cool with that. I'd love to bring back Video Shrek Versus. Get more people in and do a good jam session with that. Back to me, I'm going to talk about Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I played about a good bit of over an hour of that, you know.
I have to lay hands on that with that thing soon. We're getting close to Game of the Year time.
Yeah.
And I think there's a good chance that's one of those games that just kind of slides in at the last minute into my top 10.
That game is beautiful.
Okay.
It is a beautiful game, as is most of those types, but it is very much one of those games. It is.
Where did you play it?
I had a friend who had it, so
it was it a base console?
It was base Xbox. So yeah,
Xbox.
Yeah. So yeah, it was base Xbox. It was a good game. It was a beautiful game. It was definitely one of those games. it was you know an Uncharted. One of, obviously, the new rebooted...
And you played the first hour or so, and that's usually where it's your more guided, Uncharted-y kind of experience.
Yeah, you got all the prompts and everything that gives you, like, oh, here's the thing you do to get across this obstacle.
And there's a waterfall! You're going to be sliding down
the waterfall, and then you're going to find it. It starts off with it's funny because, it's very tropey with, spoilers for the beginning of this game, I guess. It starts off very tropey with, like, Lara Croft in peril, like, immediately so. It's, like, her and her not-boyfriend, Jonah, the Samoan guy. And they're, like, in a plane crash, like, the plane's just going down, like, immediately. That's what's happening, and, like, she's like, ah!
Well, the truck blew up at the beginning of the last one. This is what they do.
So you're doing that, and you're like, and, like, the plane, like, breaks in half, and you're like, ah! And it's crazy. And then it fades to black, and it's like, 2 days earlier. And
what's funny is when you said the frame broke apart and then you said the screen goes black, I said, so the Lost logo. You have to go find people in the back of the plane.
It almost is, because the 2 days is kind of like how the Lost thing comes up. It's just like,
wow.
It's like 2 days earlier. But it's like 2 days earlier, you think like, oh, she's going to be walking through a market or something. It's like, no, she's in a cave. Her leg is pinned with a boulder. She has to pry it out. And it's like, you just went from one peril.
Still sucks.
Why would you flash back to that? But she gets out of it pretty quick. And then
Lara, you know, I don't want to tell you how to live your life or anything, but you consider going to college.
Going back to college, maybe getting a master's of electrician or something. Like
something.
Little less dangerous. I don't know. Maybe go crab fishing. That might be less dangerous than your job right now. But yeah, it's a fun game. All the it controls pretty much how the other one did, or how the first two did. I never played much of the second one, actually. First one I beat all the way through. I never played much of the second one. I think I played
the second
one's great. I think I played like the first tomb, the little ice tomb or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's the first one I played, and that's the only thing I played of it. And this one's very much beautiful, beautiful stuff. You're in what's the Mexican town? The Big Day of the Dead town in Mexico. Colzuma? I forget what it's called.
Yeah, I know the town you're talking about.
I forget, but it's got this beautiful, like, archway rock formation that you kind of go on, and they've kind of dullied it up with, like, a skull on the side of it, but it's a real location, but then they, like, put kind of a skull on there, and it's like, oh, that's awesome, and you got all these, like, it's really fun, like, walking through the, you gotta hide from a dude, so you gotta, like, wear this Day of the Dead mask, and you're just walking through all these people, like, kind of praying at their little respective areas with, like, the sugar skulls everywhere, and it just is gorgeous. It's so beautiful. And you're just, like, kind of looking around. You're like, oh, this is cool. And kind of running into people, like, oh, hey, how's it going? Did you got dead
yeah,
people?
Doing that, like, hitman in crowds stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah. And they're just kind of, like, backing away from you. Like, look, what's this white bitch doing? You know?
the second game doesn't do big crowd stuff like that, so I'm excited to see how that works, because most of the stuff that I've seen out of Shadow of the Tomb Raider is, it's in the woods, mm-hmm. it's stealthy stuff, it's climbing trees, it's getting a drop on guys, that kind of stuff, and it's like, alright, I mean, other than the mud looking really cool, the mud looks great.
But
other than that, it's like, this kind of looks the same, so hearing that there are these big, like, hub world sections with big crowd stuff and just a lot of new graphical effects and things that they hadn't done before is exciting for me.
It's super cool. Yeah, it's super rad. I tell you, the camouflage thing looks really good. Like, again, this game looks gorgeous. But the camouflage thing looks really cool. I haven't gotten to a point where you do that.
Like the mud mask stuff?
Yeah, but the opening screen is these two guys, like, kind of looking around. And I didn't notice that Lara's right there. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. It's like, she's in the title screen. I didn't even notice her. She's like, kind of like, oh. Like, running from these dudes is really cool.
Well, and that's a lot of the reason that, like, that mud tech looks so good is that, like, she'll reach down and she'll pull a pile of it out. And It's technologically very impressive.
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah.
So, that's one of those games that I have to touch before we do this podcast first week of January.
Yeah,
because
you gotta do those.
Due diligence. There are certain games that, like, I can look at and go, like, maybe I can skip that one. That's not one of them.
That's not one of the ones you can skip. Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Boom.
The problem is among so many games this year, you know, that game's probably 30-40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of games that have been 100 hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've already probably played, like, the best game of the year. I played Dead Cells already. So
right,
come on.
It was spitballing. What's the title of the next one? You got Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I mean, they're going to make another one.
I think what you do is, I think for the next one, they call this the end of her prequel trilogy.
Sure,
The next one's just called Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it's Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
The tomb.
It is cool because, like, when you first see her, like, you don't really notice it because the lighting's a little bit different. When she kind of finally crawls out of the hole she's in, she's wearing her turquoise, like, is it blue? What is it? Like, a green turquoise?
Yeah.
Aqua? Her top, and it's just like, oh, there it is.
You seen where you can get the PS1 Tomb Raider 2 model in that game?
Oh, really?
And play the entire game that way?
No.
So even in cinematics, you're just like fucking 32-bit Lara.
That's hilarious.
With her big glove hands.
Her big giant mitten hands. Her knuckles hands. Knuckles the echidna.
That stuff's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. What else have you played?
What's next on my list?
You got SteamWorld Dig 2?
Oh, yeah. I played a bunch of SteamWorld Dig 2. This will be a pretty quick one. SteamWorld Dig, if you remember, I guess it was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
I became enraptured with this game that was free on PlayStation Plus, where it's just, you dig.
Right.
And you get gems, and you go back to the top, and you buy more gear so you can dig farther and stay down there longer, and then you discover that the shit gets weird. Mm. And you're a robot person. And
interesting.
Alien technology and all sorts of crazy shit. This one, they added grappling hooks and jetpacks. And,
what?
That's really good. SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Dig 2.
Yeah. Boom.
Fucking great. It's on everything. And it's really good.
That's a thumbs up. Your two big ones are next. Whichever one of the two big ones you want to do, which were
What do you want me to do first? I think Forza should probably go first because I think I'll say less about that because I think you'll probably have questions about Call of Duty.
Probably, yes.
Because that's a weird package.
Sure. Let's go with Forza Horizon.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 4. Talked about this a little bit. I've been playing it off and on with my wife. I've also played with a friend of the show, JT.
Yeah.
A whole shitload of this game online in online convoys.
Yeah.
Which are great. It takes all of this competitive stuff and just throws it out the window. And Forza Horizon is all about having a good time with your friends online.
Mm-hmm.
So if I join a convoy with you and we go into a race, it puts us against Drivatars, the AI.
Right.
And there's a whole crew of them. And, you know, there can be, I think, up to 4 or 5 people in your convoy.
Sure.
And you're racing against this whole crew of Drivatars. It doesn't matter who wins on your team.
Okay.
If you get first and I get second, I don't get less points than you. We share them all.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's just, it's all about cooperating. It's all about having a good time and just accomplishing goals together.
Right.
It's just a hell of a fun time.
It's a big ol' hug.
It's a big ol' hug. It's relaxing.
Yeah.
Like, I can finish playing that, which is like a high action driving game.
Yeah.
And just go lay down and fall asleep immediately because I've been relaxed for 2 hours. I'm playing it on the PC, wife's playing it on the Xbox, it looks great everywhere. The Xbox One X version has an awesome feature.
Right.
On the X, you have the option to play that game at 1080p at 60 FPS instead of 4K at 30.
Sure.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because they're finally giving granularity to setup and giving you the ability of, you want this game to run at 60, and you know maybe the effects are tuned down a little bit and the resolution's lower, but it runs as fast as the PC game does.
Right.
Like, I think that's cool. I love the time of day. I mean, the time of year stuff. Right now, as of this recording, we're in winter. You know, we started off in autumn back when the game launched. And it's just... No, it was summer when the game launched. And then it was autumn, and now we're in winter.
Now in winter,
and, so we haven't had a live version of spring yet.
Yeah.
And there are activities that are tied to the time of year.
Right.
Like, I was telling you, there's a lake that will freeze over in the winter.
Yeah.
And there's a drag strip that you can only drive during the winter because it's frozen.
Because it's frozen
it's
over,
fucking
yeah.
Cool.
That's really cool, yeah.
There's just so much stuff about, like, every season has a series of activities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the autumn, in, you know, the game takes place in Britain.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where a lot of, like, James Bond movies, a lot of those are filmed in the autumn in Britain.
With,
like, an Aston Martin. So there will be all these races where you're driving Aston Martins, and it's themed around 007.
That's cool.
And it's like, you know, hell, there's a fucking... there's a Halo race where you're driving a Warthog and there's fucking pelicans and shit shooting and Covenant guys everywhere. It's crazy. Like, they really went all out with this one. It is such a better package than Horizon 3 was. Horizon 3, I was hot and heavy on it for like the first week maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got to this point where I was like, I don't think I want to play it anymore.
Right.
And, you know, I've already spent more time with this game than I ever did with Horizon 3 in the 2 years it's been out.
Right.
And I don't see that ending anytime soon.
Yeah, you used the term map barf for Horizon 3.
Horizon 3 had this issue with what I call map barf.
Yeah.
I did not coin that term. I just think it's a really good description of it.
Sure.
There are... In Horizon 3, what happened was there was 3... home bases that you had to set up because you were running the Horizon Festival.
Yeah, you were running the whole festival.
So you had to go and you would, once you got enough experience and fans and all this stuff, influence at one area, it would let you go unlock the next one, and then it would just, for that area of the map, just throw a billion icons on the map.
Right.
And then you'd unlock the third one, and then it would throw a billion more icons on the map.
Right, yeah.
And at a certain point, you just never knew what was for what area, and if I wanted to level up a specific base, does this count towards that? And
which is interesting, because initially when that happened, it was kind of like, oh, it just gave me everything right there, awesome. But then you kind of like realize, like, it's kind of a drag to go all these places and like figure out what each one's going to do. And
this
game
meters out stuff to you really well. It's like, if you do 5 danger jumps, here's 5 more.
There's a game design term that's on the tip of my tongue that's what that is, and I can't remember what it is. It's basically the phone game mentality as well. You just kind of dole out little things and be like, yeah, just keep coming. Little breadcrumbs for people to follow, you know?
Well, it's like a... I don't like the word gamification, but it's like incentivization for progression.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'm not going to give you all of this roast beef.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a piece, and when you finish, I'm going to give you another one.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, it's just... letting people get their feet wet without just, all right, later, we're fucking gone. I'm going to leave this to you.
Yeah, there's a psychology term for it. It's a gratification, something like delayed gratification, something like that. Or I forget what it was.
Yeah, because instant gratification is Matt Barf.
Right, yeah, it's Matt Barf, exactly. Just like, it's all here.
Like, oh, shit, what do I even fucking do? And, you know, another game that suffers from that, from what I hear, is Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Right.
That game is, like, fucking 120 hours long.
Jesus.
Who's got time for that?
That's a lot. How many squids are in it? Giant squids. How many giant squids?
I hope there's a lot.
Oh, there should be a lot of giant squids, yeah. Is there only one giant squid in Assassin's Creed? Is that just a thing that I'm, like, over-hyping in my head? Or was that in several games? I remember there's a giant squid in one of them.
What do you think? It's Sea of Thieves?
I don't know. No, there's like one. I think it's like three or something. But like you keep going to like this underground tunnel or something. And like eventually, like a giant squid will pop up, and it's like a scary spooky.
I've never
Easter
seen
egg.
That.
Yeah, it's like a scary spooky Easter egg or something. And like,
I need to look that up after this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I feel like they kept doing it. Like you can do it in Sea of Thieves 2 or something. Like I don't know. I could be making that all up. I don't know. My turn. I was like, you were pointing at me. I'm like,
Horizon 4, it's in the top three of my games of the year. It will be on the list. It's fucking incredible.
Nice.
You should go play. It's on Game Pass, so if you pay $9.99,
fantastic.
You can play the entire game.
Very cool. Very cool.
So.
Very cool. All right, awesome. My turn, Mega Man 11.
I want to know about this.
This is a great game. Well, I loved it anyway. This is a cool game. It is very much a remastering of the old, let's say. It's not like a remaster of an old game, but the way everything plays, your jump arc, the way you control, the way you fire, it is just like the old NES games from 4 and up.
When I look at that, and then I look at the review scores that gets, my brain just says, what if Mighty No. 9 was good?
Basically that. Mighty No. 9 just had a problem of like being, well, first of all, looking like a PS1 game.
A real bad
PS1 game.
No, real bad trailer. Remember that trailer?
Oh god, it was so awful. What's up, nerds? Like, what? like, what? Who thought that was a good idea? Like, bad handling.
What's up, virgins?
Yeah, it's like just bad handling all around with that thing. Like, just horrible.
Good use of your Kickstarter money.
Right, yeah, still no word on that anime that you spent Kickstarter money on either, so... Good job there, guys. Complete debacle. Yes, it's pretty much like everything people wanted Mighty No. 9 to be, but actually the property of the thing that Mighty No. 9 was ripping off. Because it even, like... So, it has all the good stuff. It's got the Buster. It's got the Slide. The Slide, not the Dash, because that's the thing you like, right? You don't mind Slide, but you...
Yeah, I like Slide.
You like Slide, but not like Dash. You don't like Dash. That's what it is, yeah. So, it's got Slide, not Dash... no wall jumping, no wall climbing. It's not an X game. It's an old school Mega Man game. What they do visually is very beautiful. It's got a lot of the Mega Man 6 story elements to it, which blow my head out.
Hey, Mega Man.
It's just like his boy. It's not that bad. They actually got a real voice actor.
It's not
actor.
Mega Man 7.
No, they actually got a real voice actor. That's the Dr. Wily.
Hey, Mega Man.
Mega Man, that's the top Dr. Wily. Like, did you just get, like, somebody's brother in? Like, what is that? Like,
just me with a cold.
Did you get Bill from accounting in while he was sick? Like, what are you doing? But yeah, so it's actually voice actors and everything. But, you know, it's like, but it's just like, sort of like, all right, I get it. Because it's like, there's no story to Mega Man. It's like, Wily's the bad guy, Light's the good one, fight some robots. That's like it. So, the robots are all...
Is X-Ware story really infected that?
It infected with a different story. Six is where story really infected that game. Six is where all the story started coming in. But, X just sort of did it in another thing where it's like, you're a maverick hunter and you gotta hunt down the mavericks. And it's like, this is just the, like, you're just using different words.
Yeah. Like, you replaced Robot Master with Maverick.
And that's it. It's the same thing. Stop it.
Wait, there was a Mega Man X game that was called Mega Man X, like, Maverick, right?
Yes. Mega Man X Maverick, which was, like, a wholly different thing.
Is that a PSP game?
I think it might have been.
Or maybe a DS game.
Maybe a DS game, something. It was.
I just remember early on in my working at a video game store career, me having to catalog these portable games. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what?
Are there a million fucking Mega Man portable games?
Yeah, man. There's a lot of them. them.
GBA, DS, and PSP, man.
And then you had the NT games where it was all like a Pokemon game and stuff like that. Like, Mega Man's a huge franchise, but we're back to the roots. We're back to its roots and everything.
Alright, so I heard two things prior to the game coming out that were appalling to
me. Yes, okay.
First of all.
Yes.
The blood-curdling scream that Mega Man lets out when he dies.
Yeah, yeah, it's real, yeah, he basically just goes, like,
alright, second thing.
Real funny, yeah.
He doesn't remain hanging in the air when he jumps into a boss.
It's bullshit! I'm so mad about that! It's
what, like, is that?
It's the most horrible thing, because everyone knows who's ever played a Mega Man game.
Arms in the air!
When you're jumping in to fight a boss, you jump into the door, and it stops, and you scroll in the air, and you fall down. In this... For some reason, you drop to the ground first, and then the screen scrolls, and it's infuriating. I don't know why you would make such a horrible decision, but that's a decision they made, and it's the worst decision of the entire game.
It's the worst decision ever made by
humans. Ever made by a human. Good decision they did. Very cool. I like the, obviously, like the... you kind of did this with the X games and everything with the LR button, but you have a quick select for your stuff. You have a little quick select for your weapon thing. Gives you a little weapon wheel so you can select from and everything like that. One of the top buttons, I forget which one does it, but and you can just select from the weapon wheel and stuff like that.
So. Are you playing on the Switch?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, on the Switch.
How's it look?
Looks beautiful.
How's it run?
Runs perfect.
Good.
Runs absolutely perfectly. It doesn't give you the... Now, it's funny because it doesn't have the slow-mo, like, obviously, that the old school thing does. But the new thing they added to this thing...
Sprite flicker!
Yeah. You have two gears that you can run through that you kind of build up as you kill enemies and do stuff and stuff like that. That's separate from your other power switch and everything like that. And the gears are power gear, which gives you a short burst of stronger, you know, regular power-up shots and everything.
Is that like 10 seconds, or is that a certain number of shots?
It's about 10 seconds, and it's like a little gauge that goes like that. Or you have speed gear, which lets you slow down time. And you basically can, like, you know, because there's a lot of timing-based environmental stuff in a lot of the levels. Like, guys, like, coming, like, ah, it's a big wall, you gotta outrun the wall, or whatever. So at certain parts you can...
Is it designed to be mainly used more for environmental puzzle solving, or is it designed for, like, there's a million guys in this room?
Both, yeah. Okay. Not for a million guys, but, like, for, like, tricky... placements of of guys and stuff like that. It's like, oh, these guys, they shoot missiles, plus there's three right here, I hit that platform, oh, I can speed gear, and then just sort of boom boom take that guy out, boom boom take that guy out. I don't know why I'm doing a gun.
It's like when you breach and, well, it's like when you breach and clear Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly. And you go, exactly. And you kind of do it that way. It's also really helpful when you're low on life against a boss, because you can pretty much gauge where they're going to be, and they slow down. It's really kind of a cool last moment, because you're like, ooh, and you have to hit them with like the last shot, and like, it's really cool though. And but the coolest thing they do visually that I absolutely love, and this is all just aesthetic, you know, game feel kind of stuff. But when you switch to your other character or your other weapon or whatever, you don't just change color; you actually change like. Your buster changes to, like, what your enemy had, and your helmet changes to their helmet, and that's kind of, it's a cool little extra visual on top of it that's like, oh, I know specifically that that's Impact Man, because I have this giant jackhammer spike on the end of my thing, and now I can do a charge dashy, you know, attack.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
All right, you broached the topic first.
Yeah.
Give me the man rundown.
The man rundown is Bounce Man... Toxic Man, I think. Some of the guys are still learning their names. Block Man.
What does he do? Does he create like Mario blocks?
He's basically he just makes bricks fall. He's kind of like a guts man. Block Man. Oh man, I should have looked this up for a second.
Is there a woman this time?
There's no woman on this
one. Was that Mega Man 10 that had like Splash Girl? Woman. Yeah, Splash Woman.
Had Splash Woman on it. It's going to drive me crazy to try to do it. I forgot what the flame guy's name was. Damn it! What was his name?
Flame Man.
It was like Pyre Man or something like that. What the heck's his name?
Fire Man, and he's wearing a little fireman helmet.
Yeah, yeah. He's got stuff to say. It's like there's an ice skating dude. He's Frost Man, Frigid Man. I'm so bad with these names. I don't know why it's...
I'm sorry I asked. Yeah. Sorry I asked.
No. Okay, sorry. There's Fuse Man, I remember that.
Okay.
Torch Man was the flame guy.
Okay.
Bounce Man, I was right. Tundra Man is the ice guy.
He loves the Toyota Tundra.
Acid Man, not Toxic Man. Blast Man, and... Fuse Man and Block Man. So yeah, that's the man rundown. But they got the man down. Acid Man has a cool one because he has like a double. You can do an acid shield, but as you have your acid shield activated, your acid shot is more powerful. So that's kind of a cool thing. And you can actually like hit people with your acid shield, kind of like Woodman's deal from two. So that's pretty cool.
I have another important question.
Yes.
Okay. So every 2 to 4 years, do they just spin the crank and make more of these?
Yeah, I think so. I think
do you go back to the X stuff, or do you stick with the mainline Mega Man?
I think you might stick with the mainline Mega Man, but like the thing is, Capcom's weird, so I just don't know like what they want to make a franchise out of in a lot of ways.
Because 9 and 10 came in pretty rapid succession.
Yeah, it was boom and boom.
Those X games came hot and heavy
when
they were coming out.
Yeah, it was an X game a year at one point. It was pumping those out.
God, and those Battle Network games on like the GBA and DS. Absolutely, it was like, here's three a year! Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the NT games were nuts. Like, they came out really quick. It was crazy. So, I feel like this is a good spot. It's commercial success already, obviously. And they have a good system to just sort of start pumping these out with new weapons and everything. Also, the weapon selection is really good. Blast Man's is really cool. That's like one of the more unique ones they have. He throws out bombs, but if you throw out several, they chain together.
Oh,
so you
cool.
can have like more like you know, bigger explosions and stuff like that. So that's really cool. They all kind of have like a good range of things to do. The only one that sucks is Bounce Man. He shoots like 3 bouncy balls. That's about it.
I was hoping he shot like trampolines at you. Like, fuck yeah, we're in a bounce house, motherfucker.
But yeah, he just shoots out little things. He has the most inspired level, though, I'll say. Like, his level's really inspired. Like, it's like got a good little thing of like, it's like a carnival kind of a thing, and you kind of bounce around and stuff, and all the enemies are creepy, like clown things. It's like, but yeah, it's pretty fun. Really inspired. The only thing I will say is not very inspired about this game. The music, and I think it's probably just because I'm spoiled from 2 and 3, some of the best NES music I think you
is
can
think of. Is it still synth, chiptune-y kind of stuff, or
yeah.
is this more like symphonic-y?
It's more symphonic-y. Nothing's really catchy. That's like really the problem. Like, nothing leaps at you. And in fact, like, some of it just kind of sounds stockish in a lot of ways. And like, nothing really, like, leaps. The only one that kind of has any catchy ones is Wily Stage, which is kind of par for the course for a lot of them. Wily stages are typically really well done, but like this one's
also the one you have to spend the most time on because that's where your boss rushes take place.
Exactly. So, but you have it's just sort of like fine. That's like it, and like the rest of it's just like forgettable. So like that's where it's like rather than being like epic versus like whatever, it's just sort of like yeah, you know, it's just sort of that's about the only where that I'd say that it's a total miss is. The overuse of, you know, voicey talky bits. It's just like, you're Mega Man, you're fighting Dr. Wily. I don't need all this. And then the music's just sort of, eh. Nothing wrong with it. It's just there.
And the door animation.
Yeah, and the door animation. Yeah, that. It's weird because, like, they have good visual cues for all the new stuff. Like, when you get a new, like, when you get, like an E-tank, when you get, like, an energy tank. Like, they have a good visual cue, but they just sort of took out the, like,
it doesn't do that anymore?
It took out like it's kind of there, but it's not really like it's. I feel like there's a lot of noise cues you should have just left in. Hmm. Like it's a little bit weird that they sort of like took a lot of that out because like.
But what's confusing about that is that it seems like all right, well, there's a lot of streamlining going on here, but it doesn't sound like they were really trying to saw the edges off of that format and make it more accessible or
right.
anything.
Yeah, yeah, no, not
I heard
at
all. It's not easy.
No, it's definitely like one of those, like, you gotta play through it to get better, just like any other Mega Man game. You know, you gotta play through it, you gotta be good, you know, to get good at it. Not as much memorization, which is nice. There's more of that, like, kind of get better with your gear kind of thing, which is interesting, so. It's still a great game. I absolutely love it. My favorite enemy in the game is the is these, I don't know why, it just makes me laugh, but you always have those, like, those big enemies you can't really pass without blowing them up.
Yeah.
There's one guy that's, like, a skull, and he just has, like, a big hammer, and, like, when you come on screen, you're just sort of directly looking at this guy with a giant fucking hammer, and you're just, and he's just staring at you, like...
It's every day of my life.
Come any closer, and I swear to God...
Oh, and, if you get within my hit detection box, you're gonna get
it. He's just like a big skull, and he's just looking at me like, he's like, I think I see what you're gonna do.
That sounds like something out of fucking Shovel Knight.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty great. But yeah, yeah, so Mega Man 11, highly recommend for all you Mega Man fans out there, for sure.
Would you tell someone to start here?
Yeah.
Or do you still think two?
I think maybe because it has such an upgraded look to it.
Yeah.
Like, it has a very good visual style to it.
Two's hideous.
Two is an S game.
I can't see half of it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, for anybody of, like, you know, you're colorblind or anything of the sort, like, that would be kind of a brutal thing, I feel like. But, you know, you can't see half of it. It's kind of brutal. You wouldn't even be able to see the different changes on your character either.
Like half those color palette swatches are pretty rough for me.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, literally pause the game. Well, they give you the letter cue. What the hell are you doing?
She's being a jerk.
I know, right? What the fuck?
Sorry, it's my dog.
Here, get up here. I'll cut that out. It's fine. Get up here. Shut up. Get up here and shut up so he can finish his. All right. But yeah, I don't know if I'd tell people to start here or not. It's a tough question. Maybe, yeah, I think so. Just because, like, it has all the same feel of it, but it's got a little extra stuff. Well, hey there.
Sorry, yes. You might still get some dog growling in here. My dog's just being an idiot.
I don't know why you're being a jerk there. But yeah, so you get some of the you get a lot better of a visual palette for everything. A lot of better visual cues and stuff like that. So maybe
so here. You would yeah. At $30.
Yeah, yeah.
$30. You would recommend this over that Mega Man 1 and 2 collection for, I think that was $30.
Yes, because that's for fans. Like, that's definitely, like, that collection is definitely for fans and, like, for people, you know, queuing in on that. You know, like, oh, I want to be doing this and everything. So.
Yeah.
I want to play those old games.
I think there still is a lot of crossover appeal. I mean, like, you saw it with the NES Classic, people who had never even owned an NES.
Right.
Still finding a lot to love out of there. But I also think that, like, for pure modern reverence, if you've never touched one of those things, I think it'd be hard to play Mega Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think it'd be hard to play Mega Man 2.
Because it's brutal. And that's the other thing is, like, yeah, this game's hard, but it doesn't send you back to the beginning in certain areas, and it's way easier to get to a certain part of a game.
Oh, you're not resetting the whole level every time you die anymore?
Well, yeah, you do reset. If you're on it, continues to reset that. But there's several checkpoints in a level.
Okay.
Levels are longer, though. I will say that. Like, the levels are very much longer.
So it is more like Shovel Knight. Yeah, I feel like Shovel Knight keeps coming up here.
Yeah, it is a little bit more like, because it's longer, there's more than one checkpoint.
See, I like the idea of that. I might actually play Mega Man 11. Mm-hmm. I might check that out.
Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah.
Because, you know...
Pardon me.
Historically, Mega Man has not been something that I've been able to get into.
Sure.
But it's mainly because the ones... I always tried to play 2 and 3, the ones that have the most reverence for them, and I'm like, I can't see what's killing me.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. This pink on blue background here, I can't fucking see the pink guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. The color palette's
especially, half the time he sprite flickers so much, he doesn't even exist on screen.
It's before we had design for disability mentality, so, we have a lot more of that now, so.
I'm color impaired.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, whatever. It's like, you don't have to call yourself a disability, but I'm just saying, the color impaired. But yeah, so there you go. I'd say start with this one, for sure. Yeah.
All right, well... Yeah. To hell with your twee little Mega Man bullshit. It's time for the 18 to 34 year old male podcast. Yeah. I played Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
All right, so I got a little fun story about Call of Duty.
Call of Duty shooter man.
I won't belabor this for too long. Basically, me and my lovely wife drove all over town.
Sure.
Looking for a PC physical copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Okay.
There's a very specific reason why.
Yeah.
Because at the game store that I work at, you don't get discounts on digital copies.
Sure.
But you get your discount on a physical.
Right.
So I'm looking for this. Come on, how often do you see physical PC
physical
games?
PC
And we went to multiple stores, like, we had one, but it's pre-order. Fuck!
Yeah.
We had one, but it's pre-order. God damn it. So we finally end up going to the store that I work at. They called another store that was an hour away.
Okay.
And talked to them. We're like, okay, hey, here's the situation. Told them I'm an employee and that I wanted a copy of this thing.
Right.
So, all right, cool. If he buys a gift card and I read you the gift card over the phone, will you open the game and tell me the code? So here's the best part of it. Do you know what is inside of the box for Call of Duty Black Ops 4? I'll let you take a guess.
What is inside of the box for
Call of Duty? What are the contents of the box?
All right, I'm going to say a brass keychain badge with the 4 on it.
No.
No? Okay. No. I'm going to say...
You're way overshooting it, I'll tell you that. If you want to give up, you can give up anytime.
Oh, I see. So, okay, so...
What's in here?
What's in it? I'm going to say...
It's a DVD box.
Right. I'm going to say it's a slip of notepaper with the code on it.
You're close. Okay.
Like, so, is it torn out of a... Does it have, like, the actual, like perforated edge?
It's notebook paper.
They just stuck it in there and wrote it down in pen with a Sharpie.
That's not quite as creative.
Okay.
All right.
Wow, okay.
So, there's no filler paper in this thing.
Okay.
You open the box, and where the DVD would go, they have a cardboard cutout of a DVD disc with a code printed on it.
That's awesome.
Well, and there are other games like Fallout 4.
Yeah. Right.
Came with one DVD, because I bought that for the same reason.
Sure.
And Fallout 4 was one DVD that had, like, the first 5 gigabytes of the game that would let you play the prologue.
Right.
And a link to download Steam on it. And it's just like, you'll get the rest from the internet. I don't know.
In other words, why are you buying a hard copy?
I told you.
I know. As before the discount.
I can't be alone, okay? There's got to be more of us.
There's got to be more of those people around, yeah.
And what's great is that the person's like, what do you want us to do with the box? I'm like, fucking throw it away.
Throw it away. I don't care.
I've done that at the store before.
But ship me that cardboard DVD.
Yeah, I need that. That's for research.
We need that later.
When I bought Fallout 4, the person at the store, because it wasn't my store, I'm just like, I need this thing, and I go ahead and buy it. I rip the box open. I grab the code, and I pitch the box in the trash. And the lady looks at me and goes, "That's your game." I'm like, no, this is the game. That's bullshit.
No, this is the game. You see it?
All right, let's talk about Black Ops.
Yeah, let's talk about Black Ops.
All right, so for the first year, following the footsteps of Destiny 2 last year,
yes,
on PC,
mm-hmm.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is on Battle.net.
Right.
This is also the reason why Blizzard had changed the name of Battle.net to Blizzard Launcher, and then immediately had to change it back
to Battle.net
because it's not just fucking Blizzard games anymore. So, as somebody who works for a marketing company, real good branding decisions you guys are making here.
I feel like marketing was like, we need to change this. I was like, guys, we got other stuff in the wings.
Well, and honestly, I don't think most people even noticed. Everybody still called it Battle.net.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody called
it was
that.
The worst marketing change
ever. Oh, yeah. It's like
it's been Battle.net for 25 years!
It's like when everybody's like, well, it's Wii Remote, not Wiimote. Everyone's going to call it Wiimote. Deal with it. Yeah. It's like, sorry,
Wiimote
Nintendo.
TM.
Yeah, sorry, Nintendo.
It's a trademark. Yeah. I wonder if they went back and trademarked Wiimote so nobody else could call it that, just so that no one could
just
have
so
it.
No one can say it.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4, I went ahead, preloaded myself, got home, it was by midnight, it was ready to go. That night, all I did was, I just hopped in Blackout mode, their new Battlegrounds, Battle Royale, excuse me.
Sure.
Experience, it's 100 players.
Right.
It's really nice to see a Battle Royale game after playing as long as I did on PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, especially for like the first year when that game was real fucked up.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's good to see one of those things. It launched. It worked.
Right.
It had no server problems.
Right.
It looks way better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's faster.
It looks like a game. Like a finished game.
That was made by a big budget AAA developer.
Right.
It's very good. I won a round.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool.
You won a round? Okay, cool. Yeah, you got it. What do they call it? Do they call it chicken
dinner?
It's
a mega something. Yeah, it's not great. I think Victory Royale sucks, too.
Yeah, Victory Royale's
and
not great.
I only like chicken dinner just because it was the first of its kind.
Yeah,
so.
Chicken dinner was great, you know.
But So let's talk about it.
Sure.
Here's what you get in the box. There's no single-player campaign this year. Most people know that by now, but there's not.
Sure.
There's the remnants of what I think was supposed to be one in there.
Right.
Which is weird. It's kind of your training, because for they started this about 3 years ago in Call of Duty, where you have kind of hero characters with supers.
Right.
Like you get out of your Overwatches of the world.
Sure, sure.
Well, if there's no single-player campaign, and they're never going to use, you know, teach you how to use those tools, they need something.
Right.
So they have these, like, episodes that's basically just a tiny little tutorial mission to teach you how to use this guy's cluster grenade.
Right.
You know, which is accompanied by a cinematic at the beginning about, like, oh, this, my mother died for this information, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Very high production value.
Sure.
Don't give a fuck what these people are saying.
You have to fight Dr. Wiley.
I will say, as somebody who's played through all the Black Ops games, it's kind of cool how this takes place after Black Ops 1, after Black Ops 2, before Black Ops 3 in the timeline. That's why there's no wall running and no future shit.
Gotcha.
Right. Canonically. This canonically, is like a Fast and Furious three scenario.
This is pre-K-Space, because we're wiping K-Space out, obviously.
Well, no, that's a different universe.
Oh, that's right.
That's Advanced Warfare.
That's Advanced Warfare, you're
right. Yeah, only the Black Ops games take place in their universe.
Mm, yeah.
I think World at War takes place in that universe, because that's another Treyarch game.
Yes.
But continuing to digress here.
Right, sure.
So it's cool seeing in these little areas where, I needed to learn how to train how to use these characters. They're only used in the regular multiplayer, the 8-on-8 stuff.
Right.
You know, your regular Call of Duty Team Deathmatchy kind of stuff.
Sure.
But it was cool to get a little bit of that window dressing of, like, oh, cool, that's Mason. Mason was the guy from the first one. He's the one they had tied to the chair, and they kept asking to know the numbers. And, you know, that's cool.
Oh, I remember that part. Yeah.
Tell me about the numbers, Mason.
Tell me about the numbers.
Tell me about the numbers.
Tell me about the numbers.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see, like, some of that stuff bubble back up in a way that they typically... There's no reverence, typically, in Call of Duty.
Sure.
For past characters.
Sure. It's just Call of Duty, shoot a man... Everybody dies at some point, and then...
Well, and then here's a big new bad villain. Yeah. One of the guys from a previous game might show back, but it's never like, I'm his brother because he died! You know, like, it's never that kind of stuff.
Right,
like,
you know,
there's no Saving Private Ryan movements in most Call of Duty games.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that a lot of them take place in World War II.
That's true.
But yeah, so, like, all those little chapters things are fine. You could definitely see how some of that stuff could have been strung together to make a single-player campaign.
Yeah.
But at some point, somebody saw PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and said...
Hey,
we need to spend all that money to make one of these.
What if we did one of those, you guys?
All right, so then they've got your regular PvP sort of stuff, your hoppers that you associate, hardcore, team deathmatch, all that kind of stuff. I played some rounds of it. These fucking people are nasty.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting nothing out of these rounds. I'm going like 0-20 sometimes.
Jesus Christ.
I'm getting fucking granted, I'm not 15.
Yeah.
Granted, I haven't played a Call of Duty game on PC ever.
Right, yeah.
And without that snap-to-targeting thing that you get on controllers,
it's
fucking hard.
It's hard as shit.
Because these games are really fast. And these people are really good.
They're really good.
They're way younger than me.
And I don't know what to do about it.
And, you know, most of the people playing this game are 20 years younger than me. So, you know, I would say that, like, at my age, I know more about video games.
Right.
Any of these damn people. But they have not lost reflexes yet because of the process of time.
Yeah.
So fuck them.
And they're doing real good at it.
But I will have you know.
Yeah.
This game has more zombies content in it than any game ever. Hey! Don't care.
Played one
round of it and went, eh.
Got the zombies.
There is a lot of story in the zombies thing this time, following the tradition of, if you remember Black Ops 3, it was almost kind of Bioshocky.
Yeah.
This is very much like that. They're they're running with that ball.
Gotcha.
Because they ended up, when they weren't making the single-player campaign anymore, they had a lot of money left, I think. So they just kind of started dumping it in other areas. Like, there's a ton of hero characters.
Yeah.
Which, there was only, like, 5 before. Now there's, like, 30.
As the hero thing's the way to go, with Siege and stuff like that.
But also, you can just see, like, even if there was a campaign, I think they'd skimp on a lot of stuff, because you don't have 900 people working on a video game.
It's true.
The zombie stuff is totally at the quality that you'd want. I think this will be one of those games that people play for years on end, because typically you only get one episode of zombies out of the box. I think you get 3 or 4 this time.
Right.
Like, out of the box.
Right.
So, and typically they want like $10 per for those things. So that's a lot of value if you're a big zombies guy.
Yeah.
I played it and it kind of just bounced off me immediately and went, okay, whatever. If I had a crew of dudes to play it with, I would play through those campaigns just to see them.
Yeah.
But I don't care. All right. Last thing.
Yeah.
Blackout. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good. It's really hard.
Yeah. How does this go? Like, well, I've heard of it. I've heard of the mode and everything. Like,
okay.
So, well, how does it work?
I'm going to break it down for you.
Sure.
As somebody who, you and I, both pretty familiar with Battlegrounds,
mm-hmm.
I consider myself to be very familiar with Battlegrounds.
Indeed,
but,
yes.
All right, so you basically, you get a stock character. Later on, you'll be able to spend currency to unlock hero characters,
yep.
like you can from the other one.
That's cool.
I don't believe that they come with any of their upgrades or anything. It's just kind of like, yo, he looks like Mason.
Sure.
You know, it's that kind of stuff. But... Yeah, so you pick a guy, you go solos, duos, quads.
Yeah.
Just like you do in a normal game.
Right.
One player, two player, four player squads.
Right.
And you just hit jump in.
Yeah.
You go, you'll kind of wingsuit into one of the loading areas where it's like, you've got 30 seconds till the match starts. And
right.
You can run around like you used to be able to do in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and pick up guns.
Yeah.
And put them together with attachments and shoot them.
Yeah.
Which is nice for, like, if you want to get the use for, you know, this AR-96. I want to know how this thing shoots.
Sure.
And, you know, how does it do at range and stuff like that. Because this mode's actually very different than any Call of Duty ever. It's very close to what Battlegrounds does.
Right.
This game has bullet drop.
Okay.
At distance.
Okay.
So within, like, 30 meters.
Right.
It's lock.
Right.
You'll
hit.
It's what they call hit scan.
Yeah.
I point it at you, you're dead.
You're dead.
But at farther than that, the bullets start to drop like they do in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Right,
so you're having to use those other areas of a scope.
I was gonna ask if everything's like Call of Duty in that regard.
No.
But, yeah, so there we go.
But we're starting to get to the part that I don't like so much.
Okay.
I'll continue with the stuff that I do like. It's got crates.
Sure.
The crates drop basically super weapons you can't get any other way.
Right, yeah.
There is no ghillie suit in there, which is a shame.
That's a shame,
I fucking love that ghillie suit.
Get that ghillie suit.
Hey, if you get the ghillie suit and you don't win,
You deserve
everything bad that ever happens to you in life. Because it's basically a cheat mode.
Just
go lay down in a field.
Go lay down in a field. You can't see me.
But, yeah, so the... It's got vehicles in it, it's got four-wheelers, it's got trucks, it's got all sorts of stuff. I've found, on average, I might as well just play solos, because with random quads, nobody fucking communicates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's about the lack of proliferation of headsets on PC, or people just not wanting to talk, or foreigners, or whatever.
Sure.
You know, maybe language barriers, I'm not sure.
Right.
But I just can't get nobody to talk to me. I'm not out here talking about, like, what the fucking weather's like in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm like,
All right,
so where are we going to drop?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Does anybody have any health packs? Does anybody need me to drop you a scope?
Right, yeah.
Nothing back out of these people. And
nothing back.
Fuck. So I just play solos, mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the parts I don't like is that they've tuned it down a little bit from the Blackout beta that took place about a month ago.
Yeah.
It's, you heal too quick in this game.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So any...
Is it the same thing of like med kits and like...
No, it's a needle. You just bang, I'm healed.
Oh, okay.
So it's too quick.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you end up with this issue and you don't need to go into a menu to do it either.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There's a hotkey, and you're just zap.
Interesting.
And even on controllers, there's a hotkey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so you can get these...
That takes out a whole dynamic, especially when you're when you got the blue shrinking in on you. You gotta... I gotta stop and... So can you do it while you're moving, too? Do you have to...
Not sprinting.
Well, but still, like,
yes.
If it's real quick, it doesn't matter. Like, the whole point of, like, using a med kit is you have to stop and, like, wrap yourself up.
Every standoff that's between two guys that are 50 meters apart or more.
Sure.
It's me hiding behind a rock, you standing behind a tree, us peeking out, shot.
Yeah.
shot.
And you're basically just waiting for somebody to run out.
Well, it's not really waiting. You die very quickly.
Right, sure.
So it's just somebody to poke their head out for too long. It's
right.
Gears of War in that.
Okay,
way,
gotcha.
And the... I hope they tune that down a little bit, especially when you can stack that with, instead of energy drinks in this one,
mm-hmm.
you have these little deployment kits.
Right.
It takes like 3 seconds to actually use one. This one will make you sprint way faster. This one will make your health be able to go up to 250 instead of 150. You know, there's just all kinds of buffs that you can get for yourself out of these things. They last for varying times between 30 seconds to 2 minutes is what I've seen.
Right, yeah.
And those things, like... you basically become like, in Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the original one, everybody always bitched about Juggernaut being one of the perks that right. you could get.
Sure.
Because it made you just like a bullet sponge. So yeah. you could just walk through and just kind of sloppily and just kill everybody. And yeah. there is one that's Juggernaut in this, and it makes you very hard to fucking kill.
Right.
In solos, it's just like, I'm just going to avoid this guy.
Right, yeah.
He just popped Juggernaut.
I'm not going to go near him.
But
watch everybody else die by his hands, and I'll be in this bush.
That's Blackout.
Yeah, there we go. Boom, Blackout.
That's Black Ops 4.
That's Black Ops 4. Blackout.
I like it a lot. That's Do I think it will grace my top 10 list? No.
No, it's definitely out of the top.
If Blackout grabs me more, maybe. But okay. it's crowded this year. We got stuff like Dead Cells.
It's true.
You know, I mean, Hitman's not even out yet. Yeah. Fallout 76 looks like it'll be really good, actually.
Yeah, when does Hitman come out? November?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got Just Cause.
Yeah.
It comes out soon. I mean, like, there's Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Haven't you fucking played it yet? Assassin's Creed, haven't touched it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a bunch of games that, like, I gotta lay hands on before January.
Before you can even,
And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll become a Smash Brothers guy. That's not gonna happen.
That's
but
never
who knows?
Gonna happen. That's never gonna happen. Don't even tease people.
Look at me.
It's madness. I don't care how many Castlevanias they put in there. You're never gonna love that.
Oh, come on, man.
More Castlevanias.
There's stages that have, like, 40 minutes of music in there that's all original Castlevania music.
What if they put Trevor in? They could put Trevor.
What if they did?
Pretty great. Alucard, they could toss him in there.
I would buy an Alucard amiibo.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be awesome, actually. I'd love to see an Alucard amiibo. This big sword. Be good.
I'd put him right next to my Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
And my Bayonetta.
Big old Detective Pikachu. That's a movie coming out.
I want to watch it.
It's got a movie.
Ryan Reynolds is Pikachu.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Real weird. Written by Alex Hirsch and the girl who co-wrote Guardians 1. Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
That should be funny, then.
Yeah, it should be pretty funny.
That's a much funnier movie than the second one.
It was.
I don't think Guardians 2 is bad.
I don't think it is either. But it's not as funny as as good as the first one. And I remember, it's better than the first one. You're insane. You're balls to the wall insane.
Now, it has the two... better jokes, arguably, than any other jokes in that one.
Okay.
The button.
The button is
that
good.
Bit's fantastic. Yes, that bit is fantastic. I wish it wasn't in the trailer, because even when I saw it in the theater, I still laughed.
Yes.
And the second one is Invisible Dave Bautista.
Yes, Invisible Dave Bautista.
Drax.
Yeah, Drax. Yeah.
The idea, for the rest of that movie, I thought the entire time, what if he's invisible in this scene? Or is that...
Oh, that's Infinity War. That's Infinity War.
Yes, he's very good in that.
Yeah.
He's very good in that.
Yes.
That's the only part I like about Infinity War, is just imagining Drax being invisible the entire time.
Oh, you didn't like the part where...
It sucks.
I love that movie.
It's garbage. Anyway, my wife didn't like it either.
Well, you know, to each their own.
The two high schoolers that we took with us, they weren't just random high schoolers.
Right.
We know these people.
Okay, that's good.
They didn't really seem to enjoy it that much
either. You know, it's a comic book romp. That's what it is, so. To each their own, but that's going to do it, Hoss, for our episode of the Video Destruct Podcast.
It was a pleasure being back with you this week.
It was a pleasure. That was a pleasure. I like our ops for the next week. I think we're gonna have that in. I'm going to try and get another person on there, because I know some people that are... excited about
I like the idea of doing a potential game of the year Q4 like, you know, stuff that's not out yet that's maybe on our hot list, because I'd love to get somebody in here that's excited about Red Dead 2. I want to hear why.
Again,
I just want to hear, like, man, because I get these people that just get, you know, fucking Johnny Green jeans about that game, and I just look at it and go, like, cowboys are cool.
It's true.
You know what's cooler than cowboys, though?
What's that?
Cars,
yeah. What about pirates? Are they cooler than cowboys?
No.
They're not cooler than cowboys? What about ninjas? Are they cooler than... Like, where's the scale?
What about robot ninjas?
Robot ninjas? Maybe robot ninjas. What about robots in general?
What about a Christmas moose?
A Christmas moose seems pretty okay, so...
Well, I have one in my home,
and
so...
seeing as we started off with that, we have now closed off with that. Full circle! We're good. I think that's a goodbye. This has been the Video Destruct Podcast. You can check us out at VideoDestruct.com or at DestinyComics.com/DNN or on our SoundCloud, on iTunes, all that stuff. And you can also...
follow me on Twitter at Hoss_buddy. That's HOSS_BUDDY. I talk about wrestling and video games and good deals and, you know, really nothing else. I posted a picture of a Christmas moose on there the other day.
You
it
was
did. A good time.
You did. Go check out the Christmas moose. Go check out his Twitter for the Christmas moose. That's it for this Video Struck Podcast. We're out of time. We gotta go. Thunder in Paradise is next.
Thank you for listening, DNN.